Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 578, recording live on October 23rd, 2024. I'm your host and editor in training, Cowtown Tony.
And I'm Kyle.
Just the two of us today. Adriel is out doing Albertan things. Dustin is apparently making ghost guns, but not with 3D printing. And Kelly is in Freedom Land. So, just the two of us. Let's go with Kyle first. What did you do in guns this week?
Well, we had the local USPSA match on Saturday. So I got the new trigger put into the PCC. And first stage felt great. Trigger felt great, but a little embarrassed, but I made a big mistake. And something that I was dealing with, but I now need to really look at it, because on my unload show clear, I ended up NDing.
Oh.
So with these 124s, like they're super hot out of the PCC. And so after shooting a stage, the round that gets chambered is getting stuck in the chamber and basically having to hammer it. So what I've been doing when that happens is holding onto my charging handle and basically just like a pistol doing the beaver tail slap on the grip. And for some stupid reason, I didn't have the gun on safe. I slapped it and my middle finger came and
touched
hit my
trigger,
my nice new light trigger, and put a round off like 4 feet into the ground in front of us. So yeah, very embarrassing that happened, because that stuff in the chamber, really? Yeah, I don't know if it's just like a really tight tolerance or what.
I've never seen that yet.
Tight in the chamber. And so, yeah, I got to deal with my ammo, because that is, for one, that shouldn't happen.
Which one are you shooting? I saw you were shooting the new PCC ammo.
Well, I tried that in testing, but 4 out of 50 rounds were pushing the projectile into the case. So I'm not going to go shoot that in a match until I can get a few hundred rounds without an issue. I'm not going to go shoot, even a small local, I'm not going to deal with that. They're trying to train and get better, and in this case, try out a new trigger and make sure it's going to work good. Which that trigger actually, yeah, it's really cool the way it's set up, kind of different, and it feels really great. But that was, I mean, that's my own fault. That was my own screw up. I own it. But that type of thing, embarrassed. Like, that should not happen. So
yeah, I used to put my safety on after I finished
shooting. You should.
But yes, yeah. But then the whole command is, if you're finished on low show clear, if clear, you got to do a hammer down first.
Yeah, but how much effort does it take to throw your safety? It's zero effort really, anytime you're manipulating that, like, yes, on a pistol, like a 2011, no, you can't throw your safety but on like a rifle and that, you absolutely can. So especially when I'm running these ultralight triggers, why don't I?
That's fair.
You know, the safety is right there with your manual of arms. It's super easy to pull off when you need to. So something that it's going to be in my mind, and it's going to be done every time from now on. But I do got to get this ammo situation figured out and figure out why that's happening with this ammo. If it's just because of how hot it is, which I don't see why, because it's not the spent case that's getting stuck. It's the next round.
Right, it's the next round. And
yeah.
It's getting stuck.
And I tried the cleaning thing, and it still did it to a little bit lesser extent, but it still did it right after I cleaned it. So I don't know.
It's
I gotta figure that out.
Past the extractor.
Well, it's not. The extractor isn't slipping off of it. It's solid in there.
Okay. I got what you're saying. So you mean you can't even pull on the charging handle? You have to.
No, that's why
you
I
have
was
to
saying
mortar like, it in a sense.
I mean, we're on YouTube. Actually, you know what? Screw YouTube. I'll grab it and show you.
Oh God. I don't know, maybe for listeners, maybe the K9 isn't a very tight gun, so I never had that issue. Or, I don't know, I've never seen a PCC do that. I think most PCC chambers are pretty loosey-goosey, all things considered.
Yeah, here, I'll even switch the camera on this. All right, so we have clear chamber. So basically, I was holding it like this.
Right.
And like hammering
because
on the beaver tail.
It, yeah.
Yeah. So I just basically hold it there, just like that, and hammer. But then my finger came around and.
The reflex, and you pulled on it. Yeah.
Well, not really a reflex. I didn't have any force on my finger, like restraining it. Right. So just with my force coming down there, it just wrapped around. So.
And what 124 are you shooting?
Oh, this stuff is PMC.
Which is pretty standard, I want to say. It's not
like
some odd little manufacturer.
Yeah. Oh, I had to do a bunch of messing around with my short stroke kit on that too. Because, and I realized it afterwards, but that trigger is designed for an AR, not a PCC. So I actually need, I was finding when I wasn't holding the trigger, it would reset. But as soon as I was holding the trigger to reset it, it wouldn't reset. So I had to do a bunch of playing with that and lengthen the stroke on it just so it would reset, because you're not going to beat that bolt action for coming off the trigger.
Interesting.
But yeah, so that was my match, that one stage. And
did you stick around?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They had an RO the rest of the day, a dedicated RO that didn't have to switch off. And for another reason, Crystal was shooting, and then, Gate, my boy's birthday was yesterday, and we gave we gave him his birthday present early, and we bought him a Glock 19 full blowback airsoft gun with belt and basically everything to start competing. So he shot his first match on Saturday.
Oh God, what would you compete in then?
I put him in production.
That's kind of
production junior. I was actually going to make a separate division, like sub junior airsoft.
Yeah.
So.
That's funny. So, I guess he watched you shoot matches quite a bit, so he knows the whole process.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like, it was absolutely incredible. I got to work, and this is why we did the airsoft. I got to work on the muzzle control with him a bit.
Right.
But watching him move through the stage, you can tell he's watched me a lot. And he's actually picked up on stuff, because you watch him go through the stage, and it's like, you're moving through a stage. Like, I've watched brand new people come out, and they're not even close to moving through a stage like that. But he had what he needed to do, and I need two shots. Yeah. And so it was just two shots per target. He was putting down some decent times, and when I put the match together, I didn't plan it for a 9-year-old with an airsoft gun going out there.
Oh, did you have high ports or something?
No high ports. There was a bit of retreating, and there were some longer targets. So I think there was ended up being some like 20-yard targets.
Oh God! How
he's tapping alphas on that.
What's your drop on an airsoft gun at 20?
I don't know, but he was pulling alphas.
Respectable. Oh
like,
God!
We walk out, and I'm like, and at that point, like a lot of the points, you just see little tears in the paper, little dimples, and that.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you just pulled an Alpha Charlie out here. Like, he had some good shots, and we actually had a guy write in the show and talk about stuff that he had printed for teaching.
must be cool.
And so I went back in the emails and found it. And so it's on his tool bag or his range bag, but these little cards.
I remember this.
Can show him, hey, and he can remember throughout the day, hey, this is what, instead of trying to describe it or whatever, it's like, okay, lose your target. That's what you should see.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really good. I was super impressed with how he did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So all around, it was a good day. And maybe a little bit better that I wasn't shooting, because I could put, you know, I was running a timer and there was guys who would take it over, and I would just run gauge through too. But I could put a lot of focus into him and what he was doing. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, that was a really cool experience.
New generation competitor very soon.
Oh yeah. That's
awesome.
After seeing him on Saturday, some practice and that, he's going to destroy. Like most juniors do when they get into it and start really taking it seriously. All the juniors end up just absolutely destroying.
The reflexes, right?
Yeah. But awesome. I'll show that stuff probably next week on what we got him and everything and that. So, because I might have some other stuff to show next week as well.
Cool.
But foreshadowing. We'll see. See if I can make it to the gun store in time before, because I get into town around 5:15, and the gun store closes at 5:30. So paperwork's done that. I just got to go pick them up. So yeah, but that's it for me. How about you, Tony?
I did a few things, and I'll try to do a experimental transition the segments too. So I shot a weekend steel challenge at our club. I did two very uncompetitive divisions. I did rimfire rifle irons. I'm really not a pistol iron shooter much till this point, so did not horribly, but like pretty bad. And then I had to, because club 13, you have to shoot one classification score per division there is. I had to shoot a carry optics gun for open, which went surprisingly okay. Somehow I'm not in the D's with a carry optics gun, but in comparison, if I were still in the correct division in carry optics, I would have made up 25 seconds out of the old score of 220 seconds. So the now new score is 195 seconds. Considerable improvement, considering I didn't shoot pistol that much this year. So yeah, definitely go out and train more so you can like do better than I did. Also ordered something pretty special from Red Deer Shooting Center. I don't have it yet, but actually during the show last week, I subscribed to their newsletter for FX9s, and they got a restock of FX9s in, I think, all of the SKUs, 8-inch, 10-inch, 18-inches. By the time we're done the show, the 10-inch guns are actually out, but I wanted the 8-inch gun more regardless, so it's not that big of a deal. So I got that. $13.99 was the price plus tax. I'm planning to pick it up, so I save on the shipping part. Shipping is with insurance is like another 50, 60 bucks. It's like Red Deer's close enough, I'm gonna drive for it. By like the end of Thursday last week, all the restricted FX9s are gone. So I guess there is still somewhat of a demand for them there. I'm not sure. Maybe this will be a future data point after the transfer is all said and done. But they gave me a call on Thursday asking to confirm my place of birth. After I haven't heard back, they haven't given me the transfer. Yeah, it's my first restricted, so I don't even know how the process is supposed to look like.
Did you call? You called in to do your end of the transfer?
Do I need to? What am I supposed to do?
Well, because right now, they're probably going to mail it out to you. So call the CFO and request that they email when it's been been done. Because right now, what could be happening right now is they're just, unless you ask for an email copy of the transfer notification, they're probably just going to mail it out to you.
Do you get the transfer first? So how does that work?
Red Deer Shooting Center is going to submit their stuff, and they should give you a reference number.
They don't. They haven't yet.
Okay, I would be calling for that reference number.
Yeah.
Now, and then you call the CFO, because you're in Alberta. You should have it within 24 hours for Alberta. Mm. So
I should check my mailbox.
Have it in your email. You're not going to have it in your mailbox. It could be a couple weeks before you see it in your mailbox.
And apparently you don't need an ATT to bring it home. So that's something.
Before we had that, when you called in, they here's your short-term ATT to take it from there to home or whatever. But no, yeah, that's how it was always done. It's like, okay, you go into the store, you do your paperwork there, and immediately, you leave the store, get out in your vehicle. And chances are, especially if you did it in the morning, by the end of the day, you had that transfer notification, you walk right back in there and grab it.
Huh. At that point, would it be considered as registered to you yet, or?
You don't have the registration certificate, but it's a transfer notification, so you can pick it up without having the registration certificate.
You just can't go to the range with it.
Technically, yeah.
This is why I didn't want to get into this whole thing to start. It's so complicated.
As far as I understand, Runkle might say something different, but...
I have to double lock my rifle. Ugh, so much work. Anywho, this is still, I did in Guns, which is not sponsored by Bullseye North, but I have picked up some stuff from Bullseye North. I wish it was sponsored, so I didn't have to spend money on it, but I paid cash money for it. First, they had the M-Carbo Kel-Tec improved rear sights for the Sub 2000, Gen 2, because the Gen 3 don't have iron sights anymore, but improved iron sights for it, metal build, very nice, $60. Maybe I should show the link. Present.
So is that a fixed rear sight or a folding rear sight?
It's kind of folding, kind of not. Okay. I don't know what kind of rear sight's considered as. They still have a few left. That's good. And then they have Ginex small pistol primers on sale, which is kind of funny because they are packaged a little bit differently now. So this is the box that came in, 1,000. This one is the old one. I guess maybe the deal was Campro fall apart or something, or maybe they didn't go through Campro this time around. So this will be the old ones. These are the new ones. The new ones does have a distinct lack of French. So if you are Quebecois, that could be an issue for you.
Oh, they're going to get in big trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's why Campro, because Campro is a Quebec company. So maybe that's why they're the distributor for this, but... $69.99. I think that's the best price I've ever seen for these guys.
Yeah, we've seen them go up pretty much when they go on sale. It goes for that.
I thought it was more like $79. I think that was the cheapest I've got them for. Oh, okay. So I got 2 bricks of that. Other than that, that's all I did for Guns this week. Hopefully, I'll get to pick up my restricted soon. But shooting season is over at this point. I'm not going to shoot a match with it, so it's not the hugest deal.
That gives you time to get it dialed in.
Maybe. I recall Adriel saying it's going to be ammo picky. I'm probably going to load most stuff off my loads, and we'll see. I have a few different types of Campro projectiles. Most of them round nose. I'm not too concerned about it. But I have a selection of 115, 121, 124, 147. I have some Campro hollow points too. I do like how they load, just because it's easier to measure the overall length because it's flat on top. But if they feed, they feed. If they do feed them on K9, just as a data point. I never shot them in a competition, though.
Yeah, you're going to want to dial in your ammo for that.
Like, and in comparison to the K9, the benefit of it is it will take a standard AR buffer, so you can tune the weights. The K9, it's how you got it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be lighter, so that'll be nice. All right, moving to upcoming events. Do we have upcoming 3-gun matches? I guess there's a Chaz 2-gun match on the 26th. That's what Adriel left us with. Is there anything on 3gun.ca?
No, that's basically it for the season, as far as I know.
Let's do a live Maple Seed Rifleman.
Since I think they're pretty much wrapping up too. I think I saw Kelly post it. She just did the last one of the year or something. I thought. I could be wrong.
Horonia Penitentiary, November 17th. I think they still have spots there. Rimfire only, though. And what else? Oh, right. BTSA, the IPSC style rifle PCC championships, still have spots. Registration is on Practice Score.
That's in a week or so, isn't it?
2 weeks. Two weeks. I need to figure out how to run.
Well, see there. There you go. You might be running your.
No, that's not happening. I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna run my. I don't have time to load all the ammo for it either. I'm gonna run my Savage 822, which I failed Maple Seed with, and have 25 round stick mags. Actually, my friend showed me a trick. They actually, because they have a peg on the side, they actually nest to each other. So I have 50 rounds on the gun, but they don't run particularly reliably. I think it has something to do with ammo pickiness. What I've seen from last year at Steel Challenges, if it's in the summer times, it really prefers waxed ammo types for some reason. I guess the wax is flowing all over the place and making it run better. I don't know if it will run better with like the graphite type lubricant in the winter times, or maybe I need to clean it. I tested it over the weekend after I shot Steel Challenge. It seems to run if the gun is hot, but it doesn't if the gun is cold. But then, like, it's an IPSC match, so max round is, 32. So am I going to put in 10 rounds in a rotary mag first and then swap it on, or what's the game plan going to be? We'll see. If I can still mag tune it, I'll tune it. If not, I'm not there for the competition anyway. I'll just shoot it with all the rotary mags, which I have enough of. All right, yeah. Moving on to news. We mentioned the cost of Ottawa's gun ban fiasco may reach $6 billion. We mentioned that the shooting edge in Calgary is closed.
Yeah.
There's multiple ranges in the Calgary areas are accepting quote-unquote refugees. If you had a shooting edge membership and you don't have a range anymore, I believe, including BTSA, there's a few range opening up like late season registration, so you can get in for the winter times, and the membership will basically carry you through 2025 as well. So if
honoring the membership from, or they're just opening up more slots at the range.
They're just opening up registration late season. Usually for BTSA, for example, our registration closed, I think, mid-August or mid-July.
Oh, really?
So like mid-summer times. Yeah. Our registration time is kind of
dorked,
which is weird. It's usually opening up right after Valentine's Day, mid-February to like summertime. We also don't prorate. So I guess if you're registering later than that, it's kind of not worth it. But yeah, so if you're looking for a range in the Calgary area, they are accepting used to be... maybe they're accepting all audiences, but used to be shooting edge customers.
Okay.
BC election, the results aren't out yet. It's a very tight race between the BC Conservatives and the current, how do you say that, the ruling party, the party in power, the NDPs.
The overlords. The overlords.
Yeah, so I think the recount will actually, that's what they said, will go through till like the 28th, which will be a while. Some of them are really, really tight. I think there are at least two districts that have like a difference within 100 or something.
Oh, really?
It's a really close race. So we'll see. And I think...
Kind of exciting to see.
The Green Party has, so the third...
Well, they basically get spots on the island. That's pretty much.
Yeah, they have two, but that two will decide how things are going to go, right?
It so could, like, yeah.
The NDP of the federal NDP in the same position.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And just news coming out not too long ago. Let's see if I can stream this. The appeal date, a court date, has been set for the CCFRV. Oh, I don't even know who they are anymore. Versus the government. I guess yeah. is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's the appeal hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. So the appeal hearing has a court date. It will be December 9th and 10th, right before Christmas. And Tracy Wilson of the CCFR will be live again from the courtroom via X or Twitter, if you prefer. Hopefully, there's a discussion in the bottom I saw on my phone version that the verdict should come out much sooner. But if the verdict is going to be for or against us, we don't know yet.
Well, yeah, that's what the hearings were, so.
Yeah. And I think that's about it for...
You're just going to totally skip over the one I put in there.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, so...
Oh, right. I completely missed this. Please go ahead.
So Trudeau apparently decided it was necessary to celebrate the second anniversary of them banning handguns or freezing the handgun sales and saying, talking about choosing public safety over the gun lobby every time. And there have been a bunch of police unions that have responded to that tweet and basically saying, you've done nothing but make things worse. And like, we're talking Vancouver police, I believe there was, what was it, Toronto police that came out?
Police, yeah.
And I've seen there's been a like at least five different posts from police unions coming out
Winnipeg,
saying,
Alberta, Edmonton, yeah, it's all over the place.
You made things worse, like crimes up this way, you know, and saying all the stuff we've been saying. So that's kind of cool to see that the police unions are publicly responding to that tweet, tagging them in it and saying, no, you're not even listening to us and you made things worse. So
I forgot who it was. Was it the Toronto or the Ontario Police Union? Their response on X was spicy. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think that was like the first response I had seen. And yeah, like they had data, everything there. And it was, yeah.
It's like pointing literally at Trudeau's nose, like you made it way worse.
Yeah.
I think most of the comments I've heard earlier this year were, this is not helping, but I haven't heard a lot of like, this is making it way worse for everyone.
So yeah, so it is good to see that they're coming out publicly stating that, no, this is really making things worse. It hasn't done a single thing, good thing.
For sure. And there was just a case of a police officer shot in Toronto or in Ontario, like that area of Ontario, let's put it. Yeah, I saw there's also a case of some kind of a drug dealer like running away with a pistol in hand. It's a, I don't know how to say, appearance wise, a female too. just kind of impressive. I guess gun violence for everyone, doesn't matter what your gender is. All right, that's all the news. So overall, not great news, not great news, but
there's some
core
data there, like there's some BC waking election. Up that's happening. Like I would have never guessed that BC Conservatives would be running this close of a race with the NDP to cause like a week, 2 week recount.
Yeah.
So
significant.
And then with all the police unions. So there's some good news there that, you know, stuff might be taking a turn.
I haven't figured out how a recount would take that long though. That seems pretty
I think they're literally just counting them by hand. Yeah. I think that's how. Yeah.
That seems like a way to introduce more error, but what do I know?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, moving on to new gun stuff. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. New boomstick. Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. They have a wide selection of guns and top training gear for any shooter. Free shipping over $250, which includes ammunition, or $17 fly rate shipping for orders below $250. Some condition apply. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get the first access to the hottest deals. This week, as I've introduced, they have a bunch of stuff. Let's see if I can share my screen again. Window. This one. Okay, first they have, as I mentioned, the small pistol primers available, $69.99 for 1,000. They have the Caltech Sub 2000 rare peep sight, $60. They also have, they only have one though, the Frankfurt Arsenal X10 Progressive Press with the gigantic Dylan-looking case feeder. I've heard mixed review about this thing, but the person that I trust, Gary Vikes at BTSA, a master reloader, in my opinion. You have multiple progressive presses, and he had great success with this press in particular. They have the... I almost bought this. They have the MRA Maverick Builders Kit for $550, so you will put your bolts on all your AR-10 parts, well, most of your AR-10 parts, barrels, bolt, the bolt head, lower parts kit, stock, furnitures, handguards, and it's a straight pull, spring assisted straight pull bolt action. I was thinking about building this as a hunting gun, but I don't have enough experience to build a gun yet, I don't think. Maybe I should start on a AR-15 ish platform first, but anyhow. And because I was shopping at Bullseye, I didn't know this was a thing.
Okay.
It's a hidden recoil path for the ladies out there. Just saying, if your wife is recoil shy, this might help their shooting experience a little bit. I saw it was pretty interesting and pretty innovative. Some other stuff. Apparently, there's a Seymour Red Dot Sights available. Let me drag that over. I guess it's from Freedom Ventures, one of the largest competition gun store in Canada. Seymour RTS Red Dot. Oh, it's not the traditional Seymour. I saw it's still the Broway. Okay. I saw you're showing a flash, what? Flashbang holster. Oh, what? Now I'm getting confused. Okay. Magpul just introduced their DACA soft cases, which this is the thing I hate about Magpul cases. They're so expensive, but they're so good. they don't have the very innovative DACA hard grid system in it, but I think this is still a good design. You have like a MOLLE panel for all your Velcro ties. So you can, like, usually the gun cases have like two ties, one here, one there, but like depends on your gun. It never fits at the right spot. I think this is just better. And if you
use those straps in pigs?
I do.
I don't say I do.
I don't just toss it in there. They also have, this is pretty smart, their shoulder straps are QD capable. So you put your rifle sling on it. You can use mesh hooks or the paraclip adapters too. And they have basically a QD round circle in there. And you can carry your case that way. Seems pretty nice. Although for this big of a case, it only fits one gun. It's, the other side is all accessories.
Well, no, you could put two guns on that one side. Sure. If you arrange them right, you could.
I guess you can put your zip ties.
You just put it upside down, muzzle the other way. You could get two in there.
Yeah, you can get your pistol like sneaked in right here or something.
Yeah.
And if you shout out the big bucks for their hard case as well, you can nest inside their hard case. So it's also
that's handy for flying and that.
Right. Yeah. So the 35, the carbine 35, the C35, the rifle 44, and the long rifle 53. I think that's how they named it.
Wish they added a couple inches to that.
Oh, how long of a? I saw you probably want a shorter.
So no, for my so my three gun shotgun, like my soft bag that I usually use is 55 inches, and my shotgun barely gets in there.
Like, oh, because you have the most ridiculous tube on your shotgun. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's 53.5 inches.
Oh god, do you usually have like the buttstock sticking out or
no, my three gun bag is like is size for 55, so it just fits in there. The 55 inch bag.
All right.
But okay. I mean for majority of guns that 53 is fine.
Okay, we have two more new gun stuff. Since I mentioned FX9, there is FX9 news. I don't know when they came out with this, but it seems, I guess, recent-ish because I didn't notice it. They have a competition version of the FX9 now. So I guess it's popular enough. Most of the stuff are pretty normal. You can add this on yourself. You have a Tecwell, okay. You have your, I guess they switch team. Well, not really. They never went Magpul, but they're in love with B5 stuff now. They're enhanced. FX9 also have this. They have a lining cut. I don't think that counts for anything. Everything looks the same, but this is what Kyle has mentioned before is they have a ultralight barrel with basically a barrel shroud on top of a 4.5 inch
Why'd they go 4.5?
It's so short. I don't know why it's 4.5. That seems not adequate. It's like you have now.
Well, I mean, if you're doing that, at least go 6 inch, I would think.
You are. Hear me out, because
there's got to be a reason. Like maybe it was cost or.
My guess would be really cost. Maybe it's for lightweight. I think that's option. It's very light. Option two.
I don't think you're saving that much weight by that inch and a half in the rifled portion of the barrel. Like, remember when I was measuring between a 24 inch and 28 inch shotgun barrel, and it was a couple ounces.
Well, the shotgun barrel, it's not.
Yeah, but that's the rifled portion of the barrel. It's not. You're going from. Right, like, I can't see it being that much of a weight difference, but it'd be interesting to see why and how it shoots. But
my second theory is you're using Glock mags, so we're gonna match the ballistics of your Glock exactly. So it's,
except for the competition Glocks have longer than a 4.5 inch barrel.
That's true, but your Glock 17s would be
you're building competition though. So if you want to go, you know, Glock 34 or Glock 35.
That's what, a 6 inch gun?
I think they're actually closer to. That's the XL. So yeah, they're about 6 inch gun, and I think the XL is like a 7.
Or I have another theory is because that's how the FX9 lineup came was. I'm guessing they have something to do with their existing barrel. Their existing lineup is 4.5 inch, I think, 8 inch, 10 inch, 16 inch, and then a Canadian 18.6.
Right.
So maybe that's how the shroud is attached.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But it will be interesting to see this come to Canada as an 18.6. We've seen Sterling Arms International done it with the new R9, although not on market yet, but that's what they've claimed. This is the non-restricted, and I forgot how long their rifle portion is, but they have a basically a shroud on the end of it as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I think we'll...
Do they have a close-up of that charging handle? I see they got the... the Warhammer Gen 2.
No.
Because I know I had the Warhammer, and it was really thin. I had that on my AR, and I did not like it.
It's not the same.
It was not the same.
The FX9 takes a proprietary one, so it's different.
Well, that looks like the Warhammer.
It looks, the tail should be the same.
Yeah.
I think the Gen 2 is just talking about this part. They had a Gen 1 and a Gen 2 bolt design, and I'm thinking it's just referring to wouldn't work with a Gen 1 gun.
Now,
I've tried
to do anything for delay. Did they put in like a roller delay or anything on this?
I don't believe so. I don't think it's not that high end. Polish Fire Control Group, though. I'll prefer if they just say go get some kind of a competition trigger, but.
Well, it all depends on the price. Like, this is still under a grand, so I mean, you can't ask for the world for under a grand.
Way reduction Picatinny rail, though.
Yeah.
Better heat dissipation, I guess.
Hey, it's a good entry to the competition market that you don't have to be shopping around waiting for shipping on a whole bunch of parts. You could go into a competition with this and be quite comfortable for a long time before you might want to start tweaking, and for less than a grand. Yeah, right. Cool. Nice.
Well, a grand US. So not cheap. Well,
that's basically about the same price as what you just paid for yours.
Right, but mine is an SBR. Well, it was tax stamp. I would have, if I'm in the States, I would have paid for it, my tax stamp, get a CMMG, radio delayed setup, and live with that. I don't know. I like unique stuff, and I think the CMMG is very interesting in that. This is something kind of new. There's this new-ish, I guess, what you call a primer company, Y River Energetics. I thought it was a scam to begin with, to be fair, because when I pull up their site, it's very much all about, it's very much all about like primer manufacturing equipment. Like not manufacturing primers. So this post is from Ken Hum, who is the owner, I believe, of P3 Shooting Specialties. Check them out. Yep. And I see Tenda have brought these in as well. So that might be something to consider. I haven't bought them, so I don't know how well they work. And it's interesting because if you listen back to the podcast, AAC, American Ammo Company, or basically Palmetto State Armory did on their primer house, they said America hasn't built a primer house in half a century, basically.
Okay.
So maybe this is a second in a few years, just because we're seeing too much of a shortage on primers. That could be what it is.
Speaking of P3, I also saw that Ken just got some in, and I saw he was working on it. FX9 basically builder's kits.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know how he's doing that. Also, do you really want that?
Well, we build AR builder kits and that. Why wouldn't you do a do a custom build on your PCC.
Because you can't change the half the parts you can't really change. You can't change the mag release. So you're slapping factory parts back into that gun.
The mag release is really the least of the concerns. Now, is every AR that you buy a built AR, oh, that's got that cheap buttstock on it. Don't want to do that. Don't. Now, you buy the buttstock you want. You buy the handguard you want. You buy the barrel you want. And you, instead of spending your $1,400 on a built gun that you ultimately want to spend another probably at least $1,500 on stuff to change it, especially if you're trying to build like a race gun or really anything. Like, it's kind of like the replacement Lego gun now for Canada, maybe, right? Maybe so you just build it right from scratch off the ground. You're not paying for parts. You're just going to change out.
Maybe I just prefer to see a complete lower instead. I don't know.
I don't want a complete because I'm putting a different trigger in there. I'm putting a different safety on there. I'm putting a different mag release on there. Like, it's going to be all different parts anyways on the lower.
Can't do that. Proprietary mag release.
Well, not on the FX9.
Yeah, so just don't include all the things you can bolt on. Like, give me the mag release because I need it. It's actually hard to find parts of FX9 in Canada. I tried. Like, the simple thing, I saw, okay, I'm gonna race this thing until I have a pistol. So I'm gonna buy spare parts for it. The firing pin and spring combo is twice the price in Canada after conversion compared to the States. Like, what? So like things like that. So then I feel like there might be a chance you're spending more money just to complete a gun because you have to.
Well, chances are you probably are because you're putting upgraded parts. You're not putting just basic parts on there. So it probably will cost you more. But no, if you were to buy a full gun and then change those parts for the ones you wanted, you're going to be way further behind doing it that way. Like, if you know exactly what you want to build. Someone just getting into it, no, buy a full gun. Unless you want, like Eric's saying, no time like the present to learn to build. Unless you want that process. Like, it's nice having that option for both. Like that, oh, okay, I know I don't want this base gun. Even that competition. Oh, I don't. Yes, it's got some features on there that is nice. I don't have to go out and buy. But do I want a 16/4.5-inch barrel? No, I want at least a 6-inch, if not rifling, right? So already I know I don't want the barrel. You know, handguard buttstock, I'd have to see if I'm going to be changing those out. I'm going to be changing out the trigger anyways. So
that's fair.
You know, like, it's got a polished trigger. Well, sorry, I'm putting in, whether I was sponsored or not, I'm putting in a good aftermarket cassette style trigger. Or it doesn't even have to be cassette style because you'll get Geissele or something like that. Like, you're right there. You're probably $300 to $500 in your trigger. So it all depends on the consumer. Some guys, buy one off the shelf, go shoot, have fun with it, go to a competition, do whatever. But these builder's kits, when you know you're going to be building something that's not your basic stuff off the shelf, it's perfect because you're out less money to do it and you're not replacing stuff that, you know what I mean?
Right.
They got their place.
Too late. I already bought mine, so that's not happening. I don't even think I'm going to change much, though. Different buffer, maybe. I have my trigger here already. Slap all my MacBook furniture on it, I'm done. I guess I wasted a stock, a grip.
Well, yeah, and it's every person's different. I know for me, like, yeah, sometimes I want to just, you know, I just want to get something to shoot and I'll upgrade it in time. Other stuff, say, no, I'm going to build this.
So PCC came as a complete gun, though.
I bought that as a complete gun, yes.
How much was it?
I paid $800 US for it. But I got him to put basic stuff on there, and I already had stuff here. And I actually took him stuff over to the house, like, here, okay, you're building this, put this together. Because it was my first PCC, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was, well, like, okay, I'm gonna buy this, and I'll run it. I know it's not like an AR where, okay, I have a good idea on what I want in an AR. It's like, okay, I'm going to buy this PCC and this is going to be what I learn on. So I'm going to get basically what he's going to sell, except for a few custom parts that I'm going to put in there. And then I'll learn it that way. So now I'd probably go more for getting the receiver set.
Yeah.
And yeah, Eric comes up with a good point. Having those spare parts is always good as well. It absolutely is. It is nice having spare parts. Like you pick up a receiver set from a match or something. Oh, you know what? I got parts here. Let's throw something together. Or something breaks. Hey, cool. I can replace that. And maybe not the same part, but it still would do the job for now.
We can't have that kind of fun in Canada. Can't do that. That's... Can't have parts interchangeability because that's scary. Can't have that.
Yeah.
Can't do it. All right, moving on. We don't really have a main topic today. I call it the catch up and not screw up episode because I will be your editor today. Hopefully the audio doesn't sound terrible. And I'll try to make it loud though because I know most podcasts suffer from low audio syndrome.
What I really dislike is when you're listening to a podcast and then like you get to the intro music or an ad and it just all of a sudden blows your speakers out. Yeah.
It's not
that. Level that stuff out so it's all even.
All right, let's go to listener feedback. We have an email from last week, I believe.
Yeah.
Kyle, do you want to do that?
Sure. Hello, Slamfire team. Given Slamfire's close affiliation with Rimfire, I wanted to give a shout out to a user of Gunpost named Raven455. This guy makes 3/8-inch AR500 Know Your Limit spinner targets in Manitoba, and I just received them and would recommend them to anyone. Made quickly, shipped with tracking, and extremely well packaged, the set has 2-inch, 1¾-inch, 1.5-inch, 1¼-inch, 1-inch, 3/4-inch, 1/2-inch, and 1/4-inch swinging gongs, stamped and engraved with the size, all on a friction fit frame. It's not cheap at $200 Canadian plus shipping, but given the big box store version is $150 for 1/8-inch AR500, I think it's a reasonable investment in my shooting practice. I recommend to anyone as it's perfect for honing those skills for a maple seed, running a Know Your Limit competition, having a laugh with a few mates at the range, or just being too lazy to keep putting up paper targets all day or preferring a reactive target, which everyone does. Yeah, everyone prefers reactive targets. I'm not affiliated with him at all. I just want to support a fellow Canadian gunny who's making a quality product that should last for years. All the best, Richard. And he posted a link to it, which I will post in the comments right now. And so... Sounds great.
Bondac WX posted a nice comment. You can always turn the volume down. You can't turn it up.
Yeah, exactly. But
I don't like sudden jump.
No, but so if you set it to your level to be like a YouTube, like -12, that's going to put you pretty much at about a 20 on the volume dial for most modern vehicles. Like I whether I'm in my Jeep or my work truck, it's most podcasts I end up at like a 20 to 25 on the volume dial, and I think when I do stuff I put it right around that -12 dB. I believe
that's probably good. I think there's a guideline
for the videos there is on DaVinci. You can just set it to like what YouTube recommends, which actually I think YouTube's -6.
I think it's pretty hot.
But anywhere in that range would be good. But that's, yeah, like DaVinci has a levelator. We were talking before the show, there's levelator itself, which is super cheap, just on your desktop, drag and drop, and it levels everything out. So,
that's the only email we have, I believe.
Yeah, I checked before the show, and that was it.
Sounds good. And we have a few comments accumulated because we were trying to end the show early. Well, late, but early last week.
Yeah, the interview went. Yeah.
Everyone's very interested in PRS shooting. I know it's an expensive game. Maybe I'll get into it when I can't walk anymore. But, well,
Well, maybe. You're still gonna have to walk. F-class. Like you're hauling around a 20-pound gun.
Yeah, F class maybe. We'll see.
A little bench rest.
Yeah, but then I have to do next. That gets rest.
If you want to talk like F1 bench rest, those guns get expensive.
Yeah, guns get and the scopes too. Oh, and yeah. Your reloading setup. Oh my god. Wow. Maybe I'll just stick with this. Many comments from Eddie. Eddie's been doing good work here. Dustin, nothing wrong with 243 Winchester for your friend's first centerfire rifle. If it's for hunting creatures from environment to deer, if it's just for plinking, 223 Remington is still most economical. You can be the new Matthew. I can still hear Trevor saying to Matthew way back when, oh, I'm going to cut you. I love how he kept Trevor in check by knowing exactly which of his buttons to push. That's funny. I didn't listen back too much to that era of Slamfire Radio, unfortunately. Like, I think a big part of the history is not on YouTube, which is how I usually consume Slamfire Radio before I became, well, even after I became a co-host, really. I still want my NATO calibers. I still want a 308. Maybe that's a topic for listener feedback. Tony's looking for a 308 hunting rifle. What should I get?
Budget wise, I'd say Ruger American.
Oh god, I don't know why I have a hate towards Ruger. It's unwarranted. I don't know why. It's weird.
That Ruger American is a good rifle and it's very budget friendly.
That's true. Maybe I'll get a Ruger American wrench and 450 Bush. You can load 45 ACP bullets on it for plinking. It's kind of funny.
There you go.
Second comment from Eddie. Adriel, have you considered packing a takedown rifle in a backpack when you're out riding your bike instead of using a side case? With some practice, you can quickly reach back, pull out a 10/22 and a Magpul X22 takedown stock, twist it together, rack the slide, and you'll be ready for grouse. I'm not sure if he needs high mobility for grouse. I think he quite a few 10/22s. Maybe one of them takes down, or maybe one of them is SBR enough that he'll actually fit. But he does have the competitor to this gun, the FPC, so he does have folding guns that work. Eddie also voted in for the BC Conservatives today, which is 13 days ago, in the early polls. Everyone from BC, please go and vote in the Conservatives. It's a tie race. It is. So every vote can make a difference. It probably does.
Yeah, especially, yeah. You gotta vote. If you can, you gotta.
Oh, I didn't even remember. I made comments. So these are all from the...
That's from when Trevor was on.
When Trevor was on, yeah. So for Ipsic shotgun, last time I checked, you have to have a traditional manual shotgun in the manual division. So you can't have mags, well, removal mags, can't have optics. You can't have multi-tube, which was surprising to me. So no Kel-Tec KSG for me.
You didn't want to shoot it there anyways.
I'm gonna game it. So either everyone at the club have
that to... That is not gaming it. Those shotguns were so short and such a pain to load. No, you were not gaming. You were handicapping yourself.
I'm going to have the full-length 25-shot version.
Okay? Ah, there you go.
I'm going to game it as in the either everyone at the club is going to hate me because the match director knows and is going to ask for an unloaded start every single time. So I can't have my advantage. Or I'm just not going to reload. I'm just going to... have my fuel artillery. I'm going to pump my artillery.
Until you hit that 28 round shotgun stage.
Yep. Well,
For Ipsic shotgun.
I'll just make sure every shot hit. I think we were looking at like a remote controlled.
That was in the new gun stuff. There was a remote controlled clay thrower.
Yeah, I saw you can set up a command to like throw a few in intervals.
Now, if you could customize that so that's like, hey, every second or every half second I want... Well, no, the clay throwers usually have like a 2-3 second reset time. if you could get it down to a second or less, now that would be fun.
Oh, we have some suggestions for what I should be hunting with. Remington 700. Do I get a new one? Did I get an old one? I don't trust the new ones yet. And Richard is saying Savage Axis, middle ground. Savage Axis as a budget option, and middle ground would be Tika T3. Tika T3s are expensive these days.
What are they going for now?
Definitely over a grand.
Oh, really?
I thought so. Maybe I'm wrong. Or
man. So my 25-06 is a T3, and that was $700.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a good deal. 25-06, though.
Yeah, it's a great caliber.
Mm. I don't know. Maybe I just don't want to dive into too much crazy reloading dies yet. Yeah, but I think at least in Google Homes, you can set up to like have an interval between like saying the command, having things lined up in intervals after a period of time. So that'd be interesting, but I don't know. I don't think that clay machine is that smart. Eddie says, if you want to eat coyote, which is saying me, because I said I'm going to test all the weird meat that I hunt for, he would recommend a strong curry recipe. Yeah. Interesting. I don't even know. What do I want to do? Coyote steak? I don't know.
All the power to you.
Maybe one day. On Mike Crest 6997 on episode 507, the high point episode. The high point for price is way more reliable than most guns in Canada. I doubt. Well, PCC's arguable. I have about 500 rounds through mine and it runs flawlessly. My Raven 9mm jams like crazy. It's very fun to shoot. Haters gonna hate, but it's loved by many of people. You can spend twice or three times the amount and get more expensive piece of crap.
POS, yeah.
Limited lifetime warranty. I would challenge any other PCC for reliability. Mike, to be honest, both of my PCC has ran really well for me in their factory, well, slightly modified configurations. The Kel-Tec never let me down. I never had a problem. The K9, despite me giving a kind of bad rap, it does work. It runs great. I never actually had a jam in that. That gun's up to...
Yeah, that was trigger issues you were having with
more
that,
than
right?
3,000 rounds now. Yeah, so... basically, my verdict is at this point, it's a good plinking gun. If you want that kind of a format, it's heavy. It won't take an aftermarket trigger. It's very hard. Maybe if you go low round count, but then why would you bother? Like the trigger pins on multiple different ones keep trying to fall out on me. Doesn't matter how tight I screw in. And I haven't seen a way to put a set of either anti-rotation or anti-walk pins in it, just because where the mag release is at and the pedal overhangs the screw spot, so the pin spot. So if you put something there, you can't release your magazine anymore. Design flaw, I guess. I guess you can chop the pedal.
I mean, like there's stuff out there like this one that I have is extremely shallow pins, and you don't have to screw them in. They're set and then swivel a piece in to lock it.
Right. That's very similar to the Strike Industry ones. They won't even fit.
Okay.
It's not low profile enough. Like there's no clearance. The magazine only releases basically when the paddle is touching the receiver. So, but that gun does run well. Lockhart does have a very, how do you say, very, everyone have different opinions about.
Sounds like the Lockhart are hit and miss.
Yeah, their reputation is meh. Yeah,
Taylor runs one, and he's won a couple nationals with it, but then there have been guys who, like Mike here, who have had issues with the Raven. So yeah, it sounds like the Raven is hit and miss. Sometimes you get a good one, sometimes you don't.
And even Taylor mentioned it does have its own issues, like the firing pin being very thin, things like that.
Yeah.
On last week's episode, two comments from Eddie. Congrats to the Canadian PRS team. Jess is fortunate to grow up in a target shooting family. My parents weren't into firearms, similar to mine. My mom was against them. My mom was okay. But we all eventually found our way there. That's awesome. Eddie, stand your ground. Gun is not dangerous. Cars are dangerous. And Eddie mentioned, Dustin, having to pee is no excuse for ending the show early. You have a mute button and a bottle. Laughing emoji. It can't be worse than that liberal MP, which I have no idea who this is, who appears naked in front of his camera, then urinated into a coffee cup with the camera on in another session of parliament. I don't know. I didn't fact check this.
To have been only a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because before that, you have to show up to parliament, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Check 4 years of parliamentary history. Maybe you'll find it. That sounds crazy to me, though.
I don't remember that one, but yeah, that's interesting.
That's almost the start of the month, so we'll probably have...
Yeah, we'll see what
Weeks from now, we'll probably do what people bought from our Cabela's and Brownells link. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support us, you can find us on Patreon or Player. If you'd like to email the show, you can send them to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Shoutouts and recommendations. I'll let Kyle go first.
I will shout out everybody who came out to our match on Saturday. We had decent turnout, and all the guys who helped us set up and tear down, it went pretty good. And they looked simple enough, but we exercised our inventory because I think we used every wall and every target stand. It was a hot for like a 5-stage match. There, every stage was at least 24 rounds. So it was a higher round count, but guys liked it. So I just shout out everyone who came out for that and helped set up and tear down.
I did enjoy USPSA for that. It's more freestyle. You don't have to. Here's your separation.
Well, and it's a level one match, so really we can do anything we want at a level one.
I know there's like a IPSC ratio of long versus short versus medium course.
Well, that's what's interesting is like the IPSC matches in Canada, like especially Alberta, if you see an IPSC match advertised, it's going to be a level two or three.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah, your ratios come in. Your club level stuff is just a level one, and that's same thing with the IPSC. You can basically do whatever you want at those.
I guess I don't know why. Maybe,
because there's so many in the area level two matches, and I don't like having to run classifiers. But the USPSA classification system, you need to have so many people show up at a match, like a level two or three match, for it to even count. Like I got nothing from section.
Oh, what? Why?
Because there wasn't enough PCC shooters, and you need. You need a couple GMs there. You need like more than one GM. And like, so yes, I got nothing for classification from sectionals.
You have to have a GM?
Yep. If you're going to use a match performance, you need a GM because you need basically, okay, they're supposed to be the tops or something. So like when I finished 86%, if it was just 86% of an A shooter, that's not the same as 86% of a GM. So that's where especially on a new division, it can be difficult in USPSA to get classification from a match instead of a classifier stage.
Oh, I was thinking if you can't classify.
That's why we just run small town, these level ones, we run a classifier stage. So at least every match, you're going to get something. Right, like you're going to run a classifier, you're going to get a score on the classifier, which will go towards your classification. But sectionals, like they don't run classifiers at sectionals.
Oh, really? I saw you have to have one.
No.
Cool.
What about you? Shoutouts, recommendations.
Do I have any recommendations? I don't think so. I do have two shoutouts. Shout out to Steve Zamella, one of our board of directors at the BTSA. Oh God, I forgot his USPSA number, but he is likely, I think, I believe he is the first Canadian to achieve Club 21/22 because they haven't changed it yet in USPSA, and maybe the first foreign member of USPSA to ever achieve that. So you have to get a classification in every single division in USPSA and then every single division in Steel Challenge. So I'm only trying to do half of it. I'm doing Club 13, which means every single division in Steel Challenge. So yeah, keep up the good work, Steve. He is trying to improve everything up and up and up to every single gun to A. That's his final goal. And I wish him the best in that endeavor. And a shout out to Vinny, my shooting buddy over the weekend, who borrowed me the two pistols. Because he was going to the match as well, I didn't have to do ATT, that would have been a pain in the ass, but I can't skip that. So that's all good. Yeah, I might have more recommendations as I learn how to build my FX9. If I have more materials to share to the listeners, I definitely will. All right. Awesome. Relatively not long show today. And join our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, not Twitter, Empire. Join the CCFR. That's very important because they're doing our appeal. They're fighting a good fight. And we'll see you next week with hopefully more story from the other hosts.
Yeah. See you next week.
Good night.
Hey.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.